Aren't you glad you're a Christian? All right, let's take a look at last week's memory verse. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Psalm 56:3. The man said to his friend, "You look worried." His friend replied, "You have no idea. I've got so many troubles and so many worries that if something else goes wrong today, I'll have to wait 2 weeks before I can start to worry about that." I thought about adding a comic rim shot or some canned laughter there. Anyway, with the coronavirus pandemic, I recently heard someone say that there's so much to worry about at the moment. If you're not worried about something, then you should be worried that you're not worrying. Well, for those of us who are worried, anxious, fearful, and fretting, what we need to do is stop it. And that's not coming from me, it's coming from Jesus. Today we're going to look at a section in Matthew chapter 6. Now, there are obviously some reasons for that and some things that can help, but the basic message of Jesus is stop it. Okay, before we dig in, let me just give you a little bit of background. And this passage is found in the midst of the do not part of the Sermon on the Mount, where we find about a dozen things that Jesus said we are not to do. For example, the do not from the previous section is do not store up for yourselves treasures upon earth, which, of course, is talking about our perspective and trusting in what we have stored up, as if that's the most important thing. Not long ago, I had a moth eat two holes in my expensive Italian-cut suit that my grandmother bought me before she died. You see, these earthly treasures, they're very temporary, and they're very uncertain. There's something much more important. For today's section, our do not is do not worry, a phrase we find three times. All right, let's start with verses 25 through 30. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And notice how he said, for this reason. What reason? Now, he'd been talking about our perspective on material things. But instead of treasures and riches, he now moved on to our basic needs, like food, drink, and clothing. First of all, we can see that there's more to life than eating to stay alive and more to your body than putting on clothes to stay warm. There are more important things to consider, like your eternal destiny. Man shall not live on bread alone. Life has a lot more meaning and purpose than just physical preservation. Now, have you ever seen a bird get up early in the morning and jump on a tractor with his coffee in hand and then prepare the ground, plant the seed, and irrigate it? Of course not. In fact, they're not even able to do so. So, that means they starve, right? Well, no. God takes care of them. Keep in mind, he's not saying that you don't have to work and you can just sit around and expect the church to take care of you or that it'll fall from the sky. As it's been said, God takes care of the birds, but he doesn't throw the food into their nests. In 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul said, "If anyone will not work, neither let him eat." And yes, there's a difference between will not and cannot. And we also know all of the sluggard and leech passages in Proverbs. His point is, are you not worth more than the birds? God takes care of the birds. What about his much higher creation? Those created in his image, and especially in this case, the disciples of his son. Jesus wasn't discouraging work, he was discouraging anxiety. Have you ever seen a bird worry? Maybe covering its beak with its feet and stressing out and wondering what it's going to do. No, we normally find them singing and soaring above the world. I'm sure there's a lesson in there somewhere. You may have heard this poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." Now, take a look at verse 27. Anxiety cannot do one positive thing for your situation. In fact, I've read that it can actually cause you health problems and shorten your life. Google anxiety health problems sometime. You can't worry yourself well, but apparently you can worry yourself sick. Back in 1988, Bobby McFerrin came out with that song called "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Now, in it, there's a line that says, "In every life, we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double." Anyway, the point is, if anxiety can't even lengthen our life a little bit, why waste our time with it? Anxiety is worthless. He then talked about Solomon. Now, to a Jew, Solomon was the epitome of wealth. He would have rivaled Jeff Bezos. But that simple lily exceeds the beauty of Solomon's finest robes. And have you ever seen a lily get its cup of tea and sit down at a loom to prepare its garments? God clothes those flowers like that, and they're only around for a few weeks, and were then used to stoke the oven fire. If he does that for flowers, don't you think he will supply simple garments for the disciples of his son? Does God like birds and flowers more than you? Notice how he finished verse 30. "You of little faith." And that is the crux of the matter. Faith. Worry advertises that we are having a hard time trusting God. There have been a few times in my life when I've been worried about money, but every single time God took care of me. And looking back, it was silly of me to worry. Now, let's continue with verses 31 through 34. "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat?' Or 'What will we drink?' Or 'What will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Since he's talking to Jews, Gentiles was simply a way to refer to those who are not God's people. And so he argued that it's a worldly mindset. This is one of the defining characteristics of the world. They eagerly seek after these things. Acquiring physical things is often what consumes them. But he said, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Those of the world who do not serve God are like orphans without a father, who see themselves as their sole provider. Now, when I was young and living with my parents, I never worried or had to seek after food, clothing, and shelter. That was my parents' job, and I knew that they'd take care of it. And we have an omniscient and omnipotent Father in heaven. He knows that we need these things. And notice he's talking about needs, not greeds. We don't always get what we want. And don't worry, I won't start singing the Rolling Stones song on that. We then find our memory verse for this week. Instead of worrying and focusing on those things, this is what we should be focusing on. In the Greek, seek is a present imperative, which refers to a continual seeking. It's not a one-time event. So what does it mean to seek first? It's a priority. And this is something that characterizes your life. Now, keep in mind that every day, by our choices, we are communicating to God what is a priority to us. Well, there are two things mentioned here. The first one is the kingdom. So what's that? Well, simply put, it's the rule or reign of God. And we find that both the church and heaven are both talked about in the New Testament as being a part of God's kingdom. I can send you a list of passages for each of those if you'd like. To seek his kingdom is to seek after being one of his people, under his rule and protection and provision. Okay, what about righteousness? Righteousness is simply what is right in the sight of God. Remember what he said in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are we striving to know and to live up to the standards of God? 2 Corinthians 13:5 talks about the importance of examining ourselves. What we need to ask then is, what do I value most, and what is my chief aim in life? And what do I love? Is it money? Paul said, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Our goal should be his kingdom, not a kingdom for ourselves here on earth. And if we are seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, he will make sure that we have everything we need for our earthly sojourn. That is, until he takes us home to be with him. Verse 34 is one of the verses we looked at last week. We need to learn to take one day at a time. We have that saying, don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Besides the fact that tomorrow may be very different from what we are expecting, or tomorrow may not even come for us. We're not promised tomorrow. Worrying about it is not going to change it. It's better to focus on the real problems of the present. And that's one of the negative things about reading and watching the news so much. The news media is always trying to predict the future. This could happen, and that could happen, and this expert warns about this outcome, and that expert warns about that outcome. Look, there's nothing wrong with working and planning for the future. Some people have been confused about that. The Proverbs definitely talk about the wisdom in doing that. The problem is worrying about the future, and of course, leaving God out of the equation. James 4:13 through 16. Here's another saying you may have heard. Don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there. That's why prayer is so important. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Some people like to imagine it in this way. Each of us is wearing a backpack, and every time we come across something that could worry us, it's like a stone that we pick up and put in that backpack. Well, the heavier your backpack gets, the more of a burden it becomes, and the more it will slow you down and cause you problems until it finally breaks your back. That's why we need to follow 1 Peter 5:7 and cast all our anxiety on him. Let him carry your backpack. Or at least give him the stones out of it so you can fill it with nice things. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Philippians 4:8. Here's the thing. The temptation to worry is never going to go away. There will always be things in our lives that we could worry about. We have to choose to not worry about them. And we often just need to spend more time in the Word and in prayer. Instead of fear and anxiety, a Christian should be characterized by peace and trust. So, what are some of the lessons that we get from this passage? Let me just give you a bullet list of some of the ones that stand out to me. There's more to life than just physical preservation, verse 25. Worry cannot do one positive thing for our situation, verse 27. Anxiety over physical needs indicates a lack of faith, verse 30. Anxiety over physical needs indicates a worldly mindset, verse 32. If we put God first, he promises to take care of our needs, verse 33. and we need to learn to take one day at a time. Verse 34. While we're quarantined, instead of worrying, we need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. How can we do that? Each day, I would encourage you to take some time to pray, to read your Bible, and to bless other people. To check in on each other. Give someone a call. Ask if there's something they need that you could leave at their front door, especially those who are sick or elderly. And pray for each other. Yes, food, drink, and clothing are important. During this time, we might say toilet paper, face masks, and hand sanitizer are important, but not something to have anxiety about. We do what we can, but then we pray for our daily bread and leave it in God's hands.